Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Azio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Our buddy Mike Johnson will join us in about 5 minutes. Confirm or deny in about a half an hour. And the Jays are back in action tonight. I'm taking the plunge this upcoming weekend. I'm taking the whole family down to the game. They got a doubleheader on Saturday against Tampa, so the first game is 12:07 first pitch.
Yeah. You're doing it?
We're doing it. We're really doing it. I've taken my oldest to a game. I have not taken my youngest, and she's 3, and she is a wild card.
Popcorn, ice cream, just all you need is a parade of snacks to the seats, and the kid will be fine.
What's the over-under on how many innings you think we get?
No, I'm just going to say 3.
You're getting 5. You'll get 5 out of it.
No way, dude.
I don't know about 5 either. I don't know.
What, like 5 or 3 to leave or to take her up to the concourse and let her run?
Oh, that's...
You're gone. You're gone middle of third, I guarantee you. I guarantee you, middle of the third inning, you will be feathers in your car on the way back to Whitby.
How hot is it supposed to
be,
too?
That's what I'm worried about, too.
If it's 32 degrees...
If you didn't get seats that are covered with shade, you are a moron.
No, we're like behind the plate-ish kind of and up, but it's not... I don't think we're going to have any coverage.
Oh, no.
As of now, it's saying, you know, like... Feels like 28 and sunny.
Oh, no.
So,
it is 3.
Beautiful day.
It's 3.
You think 3 innings?
Well, I'm factoring in the weather. I would have said 5 if you can have the snacks on call because you just bribed them with candy.
Well, that's going to happen anyway, but that's my concern is, here's another part of the concern, is I made the mistake of telling my wife that it's a bobblehead day for Vladdy. I think it's a Vladdy Jr. and Senior bobblehead day. So now it's something that we got to get our hands on.
Yeah.
But there are bobblehead enthusiasts that will line up outside of that ballpark.
My brother is one of them. At 47 years old.
9:30 in the morning for 12:07 first pitch, because they usually only hand out like to the first 10,000 people. That's usually what it is. I don't know what the protocol is for this weekend. Grappler, maybe you can find that out.
My brother has the bobblehead circled on the calendar, so he intends to get a bobblehead.
So he'll probably be down there on Saturday, and he'll be down there early, because I know in the past it was the first 10,000 through the doors. So if you're 10,001, you miss out on that bobblehead.
Oh, I just don't understand why. Like, I just, even when I go to a hockey game, it's like you spent $700 for a ticket, and you're jumping up and down like a crazed lunatic that wants the guy to throw a T-shirt to you? For what? For what?
Well, the first 15,000 get a bobblehead. That's according to the Grappler sources. So,
how many people are supposed to go to that week? And then the noon game might be thin that day.
It might be, but it's a long weekend, right? Like, you never know. There's going to be people getting out, but I think that's going to be a popular game because of the bobblehead, because it's earlier as opposed to later. So there could be more kids, but I think it's a more family friendly first pitch, 12:07. I think Gausman is slated to be on the mound. That's going to be a great start.
I think that's where you bring an extra $40, and you see a grit grinder with a bobblehead, and you say, I'll give you $40 for your bobblehead.
I don't think my kids are going to care. Like, again,
well, who cares then?
My wife has been tipped off that it's bobblehead.
But
so
Aaron,
now it's something
Aaron
like,
wants that on the
I don't
the
think
mantle?
She wants it. I think it's like let's get one for the kids so that we can remember that we were there when the bobblehead was handed
out. But what I'm saying is...
But I'm not showing up there early.
If you get in there and you're the 17,000th person that
walks
we're
going to miss it.
You go to a grit grinder that has one and you say, here's $40. And can I get yours for my kid?
How much is reasonable to pay for a bobblehead when you know that person just got that for free? Like, if I say 40 and he responds and goes 200,
well, then you say,
but I've already said I'm going to get one, then what am I supposed to do?
You move on to the next reasonable person. That's the thing.
I don't know if there is reason to be found. Like, what if I find Bo's brother?
Grappler, if he's a guy that would go to the game. What, he's 30
Grappler
years old.
Grappler would show up there at 10:30 in the morning for a bobblehead.
If you happen to be a guy
why, though? What is
there,
that bobblehead? Like, you're,
I don't know.
80% of people... That bobblehead will sit on a coffee table and then go right in the garbage.
Yeah, no, listen, right. I will deny those allegations. When I was younger and for some whatever reason felt I wanted those bobbleheads, yes, I would be there 4 hours before first pitch.
Why?
To get,
I have
no idea, and looking back, it was a complete waste of time because, as O said, those bobbleheads just sit there, accumulate dust, and accomplish absolutely nothing.
Then garbage.
But say, he's a 30-year-old man, walks in, he doesn't care about the bobblehead. He either takes it and... gives it away, or he doesn't even take it, just walks by the. Are they hand them out at the door? Or they put
they
them
just
on a
hand
seat?
Them out at the door. It's the first people, like it's the first 15,000 people in. You can get 45,000 people in the building. So, you know, a part of it is the Jays, you know, I guess for whatever reason, you can't make 45,000. I don't know why you can't. But they've decided not to. It's not my money. That's it's theirs. Lot. That's a part of them. You know, come on down, get in early, do what you're going to do. But there is somewhat of a you caught the home run ball and there's a seven-year-old in front of you that you took it from element to this.
Right.
Like, I get it if you get the bobblehead and you have children at home. But if you're like 25 and you're planning on getting the bobblehead to sell it online to make money and there's a kid that just missed out.
You're a lunatic.
You should be giving that bobblehead away. And I'm not saying to my kids, like, just to clarify, I'm not saying you need to, but if I was 25 years old and I walked in and got a bobblehead and a kid was sitting beside me saying, I can't believe I didn't get it, I'd hand that kid the bobblehead immediately.
You're a sane person. There are crazy people that do that.
You'd
like,
have to.
Will fight. There are. We've seen it. How many times on highlights do you see a home run ball?
Brawls.
And a grown-ass man takes it away from a kid.
Yeah.
Now, there was the great one earlier this year.
Yes, we saw it. It was not long ago, like a week or two ago.
And the kid was crying and gave him a hug, and it was unbelievable.
Yes, that was at the Jays game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was about a month ago. You're right. That was a spectacular, because that kid was a Yankee fan.
Yes.
And it was Judge, I think, that hit the home run.
And he met Judge the next day.
What a life that kid's leading. I mean, he gets the ball that was hit by Judge and then gets to meet him on the field the next day. That was incredible.
And his dad was wearing a Blue Jays shirt when they met Judge, which I thought was quite aggressive and pretty ballsy.
But I think that's understandable. You want to come down to the field. You're in Toronto. The Jays are the ones hooking you up.
Yeah, good on you.
At a minimum, you got to represent the team. You know, we'll let your kid wear whatever he wants to wear, but you have to wear a Blue Jay shirt.
Yeah.
Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What's up, Johnny?
What's going on? You guys pulled me right off the tennis court. Full summer mode right away for me. So
look at you. The cup's been handed out, and you're back into tennis mode?
That's it. That's it. Although you saved me. I'm playing with my kids, so I'm probably good to, like, so I don't lose my mind. So it's probably good
What's
to get a couple of
minutes
off.
What's your tennis handicap, Johnny?
Well, when I used to play a lot, prior to late last summer, I was okay. Yeah, I was okay.
Didn't you have a bad
is there a handicap, or how are you judged?
Well, there's, like, a rating system, but it's all kind of, like, subjective, 4+, 5+. I would say I'm the equivalent of a tennis as you are at golf.
Wow, that's a very
that's
good player
good.
Then.
That's pretty good.
I'm okay.
Okay, so your daughter's very good too, but like, do you flex your muscle a little bit and like put her in her place when she starts to get a little bit fired up, or what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no, I mean, I'm nice until I'm not. No, they don't play tennis that much, but no, they, you know, if we start playing a game, I don't let them win. I'll like let them play, but I won't let them win.
Yeah. Like
is there a rich old bastard with gray hair and tight white shorts that just owns you and you can't beat him?
You know, there is. There, you know what's amazing? So when I first started playing, when I first started retiring, a guy named Bob Ourie, whose brother played in the 72 Summit Series. But his brother played for the Montreal Canadiens and played in 72. And first time I played with him, he lives on my street. We went to play together. And he is, at the time, 68, and I was 35. And he waxed me. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I could not figure him out. So, and I was like, you can't even move. You're almost 70, and you beat me, whatever, comfortably. So, that was kind of a little emasculating.
Yeah, it's all about the angles, though, right? It's the old guy at the Y playing, like, pickup basketball, and he just...
That's it.
He knows how to box you out. He knows how to hit an open jumper, and he can defend you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, it doesn't matter that you got the great shoes, and you think that you're slick. You suck compared to him, and you got chew on it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Just second serves and just angles, and he never misses. You're like, okay, I know I can run faster, but yeah, and you're making me run. So, so we're going to, it's summertime, so we'll see if we can't work out the kinks.
Okay. Where are you at? I guess we can go around the table because we haven't brought up the whole injury list in Tampa that it's been revealed now and the injury list in Colorado. And this feels like an annual event. Everyone kind of holds their breath as they read the injury report. But I don't think it's any different than really any other team that goes all the way to a cup final. Tampa's were extensive, as we know. Braden Point, it was a quad tear that he suffered against the Leafs. Kucherov had an MCL sprain. Sorelli had shoulder issues, both shoulders. Nick Paul,
both shoulders.
McDonough, Perry, Hagel, Belmar. Like, everyone was injured. effectively everyone was injured. Does it change anything for you, though, knowing that Tampa was as banged up as they were? Or did we not kind of know it anyway? We just didn't know the specifics.
Yeah, I mean, being around the series, guys, is like, you know, you kind of hear things, you see things, and you know. You might not know exactly what's going on, but you know. And it doesn't change. I mean, it just makes you kind of in amazement that the lengths guys are willing to go through, the injuries they're willing to play through to try to win a Stanley Cup, the damage they might be doing to their bodies long term, and it just doesn't matter. And it's not just Tampa. I mean, Colorado had two guys playing with one hand. They got Barakowski with a broken foot and a broken finger trying to get in the game. You know, across the board, both guys are really hurt. The question it brings up to me, Hayes, is there ever a point, and I don't know the answer, and I don't know if there is a point other than maybe a head injury or like a heart or something, but like, is there a point where doctors should say, you have two separated dislocated shoulders, you should not, we're not going to let you play? I don't know. I mean, you hear the injuries guys play through, and you're wondering, what's the long-term damage for this summer, for next year, for not unlikely the rest of their life? But, you know, when you let guys decide and you give them the painkillers to get through it, they're going to find a way to play, and they do it every year.
Well, I think you answered your own question, though, Johnny, and I believe it, too, is if it's something that excludes, like you say, the head, the heart, the things that are so detrimental for the rest of your life, things that can be healed either surgically. I know of players that had a, you know, torn labrum. It needs to be fixed eventually. You're like, I'll play with it, and I'll have surgery in the off season, like stuff like that. So I think it depends on, and nowadays there is the argument about pain management and guys getting addicted to pills and stuff like that. But if it's just managing the pain and managing the expectation, you're not going to make it any worse. I think you leave it up and say it's basically to the player and their desire to fight through that, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. I played a year and a half with a torn labrum. So, like, you know, you can do those kind of things, and, you know, you might have arthritis in your shoulder when you're done, and maybe that's something that guys don't want to understand. And even if they did understand, like, I would think I'm smart enough to understand what the doctor's saying and long-term effects. And if I was going to the Stanley Cup final, I'm like, forget it. I'm playing with a torn labrum. I don't care what you say. I'll worry about my shoulder later. Like, I get it. I also wonder, though, I don't know if it's a real problem, but if you did limit the amount of painkillers, the kind of painkillers guys could take, then maybe you wouldn't have guys playing through all these things because they just wouldn't be able to deal with the pain because it hurt too much. I don't know if that's an answer, but every time I'm amazed at this laundry list and there's a dozen guys that are playing through things that, you know, they otherwise wouldn't, you just wonder if it's a good idea physically, because it's probably not.
Well, and there's got to be an element also about when you're so injured, you are hurting your team as opposed to helping your team too, right? Like,
that was Braden Point.
Exactly. Like, Point, he clearly was capable of skating, and that's why he played game one. But they must have looked at the tape and then reevaluated and said, man, you don't have it. Like, the 13th forward is better than you. And that's saying something, considering how great of a player he is.
Would either of you guys consider, like, a shorter first-round five series or something where it's like it doesn't crush these guys if we're going to think about long-term health here?
That's an interesting point. I would say no, because I think part of what is, you know, romantically amazing about the Stanley Cup is that it's so hard and arduous. And if you don't want to play seven games, like, don't win faster, right? Like, Colorado only played, 20 games in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, they had two sweeps, so they got themselves extra time off, and they got themselves less wear and tear than Tampa had to go through with their longer series. So I hear you, but no, I think that's part of what makes the grind. But I also, you wonder, I don't know if it's Braden Point, like, it's these kind of injuries, broken feet and stuff like that, I don't know if more rest could help you, but you wonder if doing this 3 years in a row, in a condensed 2 years because of the bubble and everything else, and the lack of time to recover fully, the lack of time to train fully between years, also added to Tampa's kind of propensity to get hurt on this last run, just because they had done it three times in a row.
Johnny, that's where I was going to go. I listened to Julien Brisebois speak today, and he was adamant. He said, you know, our window's not closed here. I still believe that we have, and he didn't say one. He said several looks at the, you know, going deep into the playoffs again, just based on what he has in front of him. And, you know, the team that he's built, or I guess Yzerman and him have built, their cap structure with the guys under contract, their core, it's up to him. And he did say he's had already preliminary discussions with Ruda, with Nick Paul, with Andre Palat's agents. So, you know, do you believe that Tampa still has a clear window here?
I think so. I mean, yeah. You think about the core pieces, right? They're all going to be there. They're still young enough to be effective. They're not yet falling off the cliff. Stammer might be the oldest of the bunch, and he had his best year ever. He was one of the few guys in the final who could skate with Colorado. There weren't many left on Tampa that could do that, and he's still going to be there. Kucherov's going to be there. Cirelli Point, Edmund Sergachev, McDonough, Vasilevskiy. You want to play that team? Whoever else they put around them. You want to play that team in the first round? They're going to have the best goalie going. So I think they do have. Now, you know, every year probably gets a bit harder as they get a little older, but Toronto, Florida, Rangers, Carolina, like, I put them on par with any of those teams next year if they get to the playoffs. So I think they're right. I think, you know, how do they keep Palat? Maybe they got to try to trade Killorn to do so. They're going to have to do some things to get their best roster on the ice, but we know that they'll do whatever they have to, including trading futures to make those things happen. So I'm with them. I don't think that's just lip service. I think they do have several years left to be a contender.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, Larry Brooks of the Post, who's very connected, you know, league-wide and very connected with the three teams in the New York area, he is reporting that he believes the Devils will be in on Jack Campbell and will be pushing for Campbell. And they got a lot of room. They got a lot of cap room. And they're a team that has just kind of been around for a while, and they want to take a big step. I don't know if Campbell will necessarily apply that, but if they end up going, you know, if they want Campbell, I don't see how the Leafs are going to be able to keep up. Because if you're dealing with a team like Jersey who's got a ton of cap room, and if they're adamant we're going to get the guy, the Leafs would have to get into a negotiating battle. And I don't see how they're going to win that based on their own situation, Johnny. So if that happens, do you see a scenario where they'll basically just pick up the phone and say, hey, thanks for your service, but see you later? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, well, like, yes, if it comes down to Jack wanting the most dollars in term, Jersey can offer more than Toronto, right? But I think how it comes down is that Toronto tries to play on his loyalty, on his comfort, on his success with the Leafs, and say, yeah, you can get 5.5 in New Jersey. You might only get 4.25 here, but we're a better team. You're going to have a chance to win. You're loved in the city and loved by the guys, and is that worth it to you? And that's how they try if they want to have him. But on some level, Hayes, if they're not sure about Jack and they want to turn the page, that's a very comfortable way to turn it. Like, oh, he got a huge offer that we can't compete with. Everyone would understand. No one's going to criticize them for letting him go and going in a different direction. So,
what about just saying, Johnny, we're going in a different direction. We didn't win with him. Why do we have to have him back? That's what drives me nuts. You got to do this. You got to do that. If you don't win, you don't have to do anything.
No, you don't. You don't. But but you do need a goalie, right? Is Peter Mrazek the guy you want to go into next year with? Oh, I mean, you got to
negative,
somebody, right?
Well, okay. Negative.
let me pose this question to all four of us: Jack Campbell at $5 million or Darcy Kemper at $5 million?
How long? The same term? 5 years each or something?
Well, whatever. Yeah, let's do 4 years. Four at five.
I'll roll the dice with Rocco.
I guess I'd go Kemper too, because he
just won a Stanley Cup.
But that's
he has won.
But he's battle tested, and I thought he made two big saves, but he certainly made the big save on Kucherov in Game 6. Mm-hmm. Like, he's proven. Now, you know, you got to have a team like Colorado in front of you, but he did the job, and good on him for it. But it just is. Does the Stanley Cup put him over Jack Campbell?
I think someone gives him more than five, Jamie.
Oh, I'm the number's arbitrary. I'm just saying, like, is it Campbell or Kemper if you view that those are two of the premier unrestricted free agent goaltenders? Take the flower out of the situation.
Do you see at least getting a five a year for any goalie?
I think they have to if they want quality goaltending.
I agree.
But I think you have to do something with Peter Mrazek's deal so that you can get to five for Kemper, for Campbell, for Fleury, or whoever else you're looking at. You know, Mackenzie Blackwood, if New Jersey's willing to look at goaltenders, that means that they're looking at maybe moving out Blackwood. Like, he's a good young goalie. I don't see him as a clear-cut starter for this Toronto situation, but I see other teams kicking.
I don't want
on.
Any monkey business in that. I do not want any. I cannot show back up here in September and talk about monkey business in that.
Well,
no way. No, how? I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't do monkey
so
business,
guys. So that's why
guys.
I just threw it out to the guys. Johnny, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Kemper and Campbell, I mean, are probably the two most stable of the potential UFAs, though. Like, you know, Billy Huso. Like, I don't, you know, and if those guys aren't, and I get what you're saying. Like, I, you know, you
we
don't
call him on
guys.
This show Rick Clouseau.
Well, Rick Clouseau could be Inspector Clouseau and finally be the answer. Who knows? But I don't think at five with the guys available, like, they're going to be good, but they won't be no questions asked. We're good. But I think I would go back to your original question, Noodles.
Yeah.
I go Darcy Kemper. Because, yes, I understand in the final he had some rocky moments and his save percentage was, whatever, 901 for the playoffs. If you look at the last 5 years, he's got like a 918 save percentage.
Yes,
he's playing for different
good.
Teams. Like, he's been really quite solid, you know, playing in different situations, Minnesota, Arizona, Colorado, and he just won. So, yeah, I think, and generally speaking, he does, relatively speaking, stay healthy. So, but I 0-for-5, we're not going to get anyone in Toronto's net that's going to be no questions, lockdown, we got it for sure. They're just not available.
That's why I expect them to be in the rumor mill a ton. It doesn't mean it will happen. It doesn't mean it's coming from Shanahan and Dubas directly. But there will be, we know the way the offseason always works. There'll be names that will come up. There will be scenarios where we're told to watch, whether it's John Gibson, whether it's Varlamov, you know, Price, although that's not going to happen here. But there are going to be names that are going to pop up, and I'd be shocked if the Leafs weren't circling those wagons.
Noodles, real quick.
Yes.
You got the. So everyone loves John Gibson, and he's not been really good for like 3 years.
Yes.
And 4 years ago, and 5 years ago, and 6 years ago, he was incredible. But for about 3 years, he's not been good. And Anaheim hasn't been a terrible defensive team all that time. Like, I know he's a sexy name. I saw that, and I'm like, well, yeah, John Gibson. And you look at him like, well, I don't know. Is he, like, you know, I don't know if he's the answer either. So I just don't know where they're going to go. But like, where are you on Gibson? Because I'm not sold that he still is the guy he was 5 years ago.
Well, here's the thing. 5 years ago, he was 23. He's 28 right. years old right now. So he'll play as a 29-year-old next year. But I believe in the skill. Like, I think he has raw skill as a goaltender. He's proven that he can play 60 games. He's, you know, yes, statistically, and Johnny, I'm the same way. I looked at his numbers. They haven't been rosy the last couple years. Sometimes you just hit a wall with a team and maybe a different look. So let's talk to Toronto. I don't know what the asking price would be because I don't think they're just handing him away. He's a guy who can be a number one goaltender. So the asking price might be too much for a guy like John Gibson to make it work. But he is on cost certainty, I think, at about 6.4, I think. So for 3 or 4 more years. He's a guy who I like. Yes, I know the numbers and the analytics don't match. He wouldn't be playing for Anaheim. He'd be playing for a different team in Toronto that has, you know, we look at it statistically the last couple of years, there's wins to be had there. Like, they had 115 points last year with 5 different goaltenders. Mm-hmm. They had 5 different goaltenders play. If you have Gibson and somebody else, that's stability in the net. I like his skill set. I like his age. I like his cap hit for what he is. Yes, and I have to agree. Like, his numbers haven't been great the last 3 years, but I think they would change in a different setting. He might have a turn back the clock, or maybe just the grass could be greener on the other side for him. So if Gibson is an option and available, I would hope the Leafs are in on him.
And you got a cost to get him, and you're going to have to cost to get rid of Mrazek.
Well,
that's the other part of it, right?
Like, yeah,
the double banger.
Because if Pat Verbeek is on the other line saying, William Nylander, I want something crazy, you just hang up the phone. There's nothing you can do about it, and he's not an option. But I guarantee you better be checking to see what his market is, because if you can have him for something that is reasonable, I do like him, because he's proven he can be a one in this league, and that is rare right now.
Well, and compared to the other options, too, right? Like, you got to consider that. They need goaltending.
Right.
Like, you have to have something. If you assume that Campbell's going to walk, and you believe they're going to do what they can to unload Mrazek, you are starting from scratch.
Right.
Like, you have to find goaltending.
But I would argue that Buffalo's in that conversation. Edmonton's in on that conversation. Like, there's not just...
No, of course. Right. I'm not alone on that.
Jersey's in on that conversation.
Colorado, he's a goalie.
Other team with more cap room than the Leafs do. But It's just a position where you can't screw around.
Well,
and if you if you sign someone or you acquire someone and you're over the cap and you got a month or two to figure it out to get under the cap, you do it.
Yeah.
Like in other words,
you know, it's wild though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that they had an all-star goalie last year. Like Jack Campbell made the all-star game.
He did.
And it's just like, you know, just searching for answers again. And I'll play the dominoes because I could see Colorado saying, listen, we're not going to commit 5-6 years to Kemper. How about Marc-Andre Fleury goes into Colorado on a 1 or 2 and pairs up with Francois and signs for like $3 or $4 million and they have, you know, $6 million in goaltenders. And he's like, yep, that team's good enough. He can pop right in there. I could see that happening.
I would do that if I were them.
Well, if I'm Flower,
I would do it on both sides. If Flower as well, like, why not? That stack team, you know how good they are at defense. You don't have to play a ton in the regular season because Francois is there. It's not about money, and it's a great town.
I agree. It's guaranteed wins. Like, what goaltender would not want to play in a situation where you know, even if you're average that night, the team will outscore.
Yeah.
The team, like, Colorado averaged over 4 goals a game in the playoffs. Like, they are a high-flying team with arguably one of the best defensive cores on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you would die to be a goaltender in that situation. That's why I think Philip Grubauer is sitting there going, yeah, I got paid, what, 5'8"? But he's watching his buddies in Colorado hoist the cup.
Like, that extra $600,000 a year, was it really worth it?
I mean, cash, you know? He chose the money. He flat out chose the money to go to an expansion team. He left a cup on the table, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, because he would have been good enough to win with.
Absolutely.
Grubauer. Like, I mean,
yep.
Not the way he played this year, but in Colorado. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating, guys, because the reality is, though, like you say, part of you wants to think, well, be patient, don't give out a big contract. They don't have that option. Hayes, like, they got to go, like, they have nothing, right? And they have to win a cup in the next 2 years when Austin Matthews' contract will expire. So, like, they got to go. They're going to have to find a way to get one of the better guys for next year.
Yep. I mean, that's coming in the next couple of weeks.
All right.
Johnny. We'll let you go, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's red tag days. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, that's the story for the Leafs. And as you stated, Noodles, I mean, they're not alone. There's at least a handful of other teams, if not more, that are looking for goaltending. And there's only so many guys available, and the big ones, the superstars, are all taken, and they're not going to be available.
Right.
Whatever Toronto's doing, Edmonton's doing the same thing.
Well, Edmonton's looking at it. They're, Colorado has to fill that starter's void. Like, New Jersey's looking at it. Buffalo needs goaltenders. Now, every situation's different, but, I mean, Minnesota might be bringing a goalie back, too. I mean, it's Fleury's linked to go back to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... It'd be interesting to see because this carousel will start, and I know Kyle's got to be right in the middle of it.
He has to be, and if for whatever reason he swings and misses, then you're in a big problem because then you got to make a trade where the other GM knows you're incredibly desperate.
Which like Joe Sakic was. Go back and take a look what they gave up for Darcy Kemper. They gave up Timmins, a first rounder. I think it was 3 assets.
Because he knew, exactly, to your point.
Grubauer left,
and he's like, I'm screwed.
I need a goalie here.
I need someone I can play.
Yeah.
And the Leafs are no different. Like, if Campbell walks, Mrazek at no point is going to get to a point where they look at him and say, he's your number one. If they unload him, fine, whatever, but that's irrelevant. You're talking about someone who's an improvement on him.
Right.
And if Campbell walks, if you can't find a way to sign, whoever it is, Kemper, Huso, whoever, and you're sitting there on July 16th and you're like, we didn't get anyone.
Yeah.
And you got to call up Pat Verbeek in Anaheim, guess what he's going to tell you?
Yeah.
It may be William Nylander and you can have him.
Yeah.
Like, it might be.
Honestly,
I wouldn't blame them. Why would you do a favor to anybody?
Here.
Especially
exactly.
When you know it's a team like the Leafs who are desperate to get it right and desperate to win and have got to find goaltending.
Yeah.
They have to. All right, confirm or deny coming up. The real version of confirm or deny. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. The Lexus F-Sport event at Don Valley North Lexus ends this month. Hurry in for offers that outperform expectations. All right, we did our little Hockey Hall of Fame confirm or deny last hour. I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, a couple more names. Maybe we scatter in throughout the afternoon.
Yeah.
But this is the real deal, Holyfield. Now it's go time with confirm or deny, where a statement is made. We go around the table. We either confirm it or we deny it. Confirm or deny, Nazem Kadri should take as much money as he can get on the open market, regardless of which team is offering it.
100% confirmed. Stanley Cup just seals the deal. It's like, now it's time to go for cash. You can maybe help a team get there. Like, wow. What's so funny?
I'm not laughing.
You just want a Stanley Cup. You took care of that. Now, cash.
Okay, you want to go play in a university rink? Arizona State University.
But I'm denying it because what if they give him a boatload of money and expect him to, you know, I guess hit above his ceiling? Expect him to be a number one centerman instead of a two.
Anybody that would expect that's a moron.
Well, I mean, he played that role when MacKinnon was injured, right? And that's why he got a lot of points and got a lot of looks on the power play and stuff. Like, he can give those types of minutes. He's a very talented player. But on a team like that, he's a perfect two. So what if they go, well, he was two, maybe he can slide up to one.
That's their problem, not his. That's not his problem.
Listen, I want the guy to cash in. I believe he'll cash in regardless. But
he's a competitive guy, though. Like, the idea of him playing on
a
team.
Why wouldn't Detroit want a guy like that? Why wouldn't Detroit?
That's what I'm wondering.
But what if they're 3, 4, 5 years away, does he want to go to that situation?
Jamie, they can't be enough. They've been 3 or 4 years away for 9 years.
Believe me, Detroit is, Steve Yzerman is putting together a good program there. They'll be fine. It's not just that Morris Seider. They've got some good players. That Raymond's a good player.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that Tyler Bertuzzi's a hell of a player. Like,
right. But they're not right there. Like, they're still, I think, a couple years away. I think they'd acknowledge that too.
Yep.
But I will confirm it, although I'm not sure that he would see it the same way. I feel like Kadri's a guy, he's so competitive. I don't think he could accept like 5, 6 years of losing, especially after the run he just went on. But listen, he got paid well. He just was on a 6-year deal at what, 4.5? Like, that's good money. Right. But by the end of it, it was clearly a team discount. And he's got his cup. He's redeemed himself in terms of his playoff experience and his playoff reputation. You're a UFA for the first time in your career. I believe it was going to be an RFA when he signed that deal. Lamorello gave it to him. You have the cash.
You know who might sniff around on him is the San Jose Sharks, because they never really want to admit that they're in a rebuild. And they could probably use some help at center ice.
How about Ottawa? Shouldn't Ottawa be looking to pay him?
Sure they should.
Buffalo.
But I mean,
Arizona State University.
He's 31. He'll play as a 30. How old is he? 31.
Pierre Dorion has been saying for like 3 years, we're done with the rebuild. It's time to get going. I'm just using them as an example. But at some point, it's like you got to acquire good players.
Yeah, I don't see Kadri as a...
What if Backstrom goes on long-term IR and the money?
That's where I think I'm thinking Washington, a team like that.
Boston might have a
team
little
like
bit of
Boston
room.
If they want to replace Krejci.
He goes to
like
Boston, Nazem Kadri.
Wow, tough
to chew on.
That's the type of, like, I'm thinking as a team that is kind of still in their window. You know, what if Pittsburgh? What if Berkey brings him back there into Pittsburgh?
If Malkin leaves and Latang leaves and money
like,
opens
that's
up,
the right,
maybe.
Like, to me, that's the right setting where he can play 1A, play 2 to Sid, play in scenarios. That's where I'm looking for him. I don't. That's why I denied it, because I think he'll look at the scenario and go, what's the best fit for me as a player?
Yeah. He might cut it in half noodles. He might tell his agent, look, I'm not going to a dumpster dive. Give me the best quality team that can offer the most, and maybe that's what I'll take. But he might be thinking lifestyle. Does he want to shack up in a San Jose or an Anaheim or a, you know, you got to be thinking about that. This is his last crack at it. Just get me somewhere nice and pay me a bunch, and Bob's your uncle, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, confirm or deny. Alejandro Kirk has a chance to be one of the 3 most popular players on the Blue Jays.
He already is the the most popular. He's ahead of Vladdy. He's ahead of all of it. This is a slam dunk confirmed.
That's not true at all. Listen, he's right now, he's a novelty act. He's the little grit grinder that can hit, that everyone loves, and everyone loves his story. He's not more popular than Vladdy or Bichette.
Right now, he is, dude. Well, look at the voting. Look at the voting.
Listen, the voting's, that's flattering. He's got more than a million votes.
People are split on Bichette, though. I see as much, he takes heat online as much as anybody, Bichette. Because they're like, I didn't want to get the hair messed up to get that get in front of that ball. It was the Roger Dorn.
That's an old school guy with two, reconstructed knees.
I'm telling you.
Who thinks that he should have made it to the majors.
Nike Monarchs and his name's Terry.
I'm just telling you right now, I see Bichette.
He hates him because Bichette's got the hair.
Yes.
Doesn't hate him when he's on fire, which he is lately.
Terry has an absolute skullet right to the back of his head and Nike Monarchs, and that's why the hatred is there.
Yeah, he hates him because of the look. But Bo Bichette is huge.
He's a rock star, but I'm just saying.
We saw a pic recently of what Terry Salad looks like, and you know exactly what I'm talking
about. That side view?
Yeah, we saw something through some.
Yeah, some
headphones. It was like a forest almost back there.
Somebody's taking a picture, yes.
Listen, I think Manoah is as popular, if not more popular right now. I think Jordan Romano, being a local guy who's, and this is more like a longevity thing. Could Kirk be a guy who's on the marquee for like the next couple of years as a top three most popular player? I will confirm it, though. I don't think it's there now.
There's just something about it. It's like Kirby Puckett. Like Kirby Puckett was this tiny guy that was unbelievable, and everyone just falls in love with the story.
Yes. Wow. His story is very captivating, and if he keeps hitting at the same level and he stays up here and he goes to All-Star games, then I will confirm it. He has a chance to be in the top three. But it's tough to do with Vladdy, Bichette, Springer.
Yeah.
You know.
I think he is, though.
Manoah.
I think he is beloved right now.
He is. He deserves to be beloved. The guy's outstanding. The guy's playing incredibly well. All right, confirm or deny, the Brooklyn Nets can win an NBA championship next season.
Absolutely not. That is just too much turmoil and too many personalities, massive personalities. There's just no cohesiveness. There is not 20% of they don't have 20% of the cohesiveness you need to have an operation to win a championship. Like it's just not even close.
But, I mean, a healthy Durant.
The talent is there to do it.
Right.
Kyrie, if everyone's playing.
If Kyrie decides he wants to play in 82 games.
They've got a little bit of depth down there. And, like, I'm already seeing it. People are like, I like the Nets. Don't sleep on them. They got Seth Curry. They got some depth. I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are these guys going to play? Are they going to stay healthy? What the hell is Ben Simmons as an NBA player? I don't even know. Does Steve Nash know how to coach? I don't know if he knows how to coach in the biggest moments. I don't. He hasn't been in a position to do it. So I will deny it as well. I don't think they're winning an NBA championship.
I'm denying it just because I think it's a circus, and it would rather go south than north.
Exactly.
And I've been Nets guy for the last 2 years. I'm like, you're not going to compete with this team in the East. I'm not Nets guy anymore.
No, man. They've shown you too much. When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
The Nets have shown you. They're
what a line.
Mess.
What a line.
Yes. Moving on. Confirm or deny. The Live Tour is becoming a very watchable tour. Confirm or deny.
I'm confirming it because it will be for me. I'll have eyes on it.
There you go. Watchable.
Now, I'm a casual golf fan. I have to defer to both
of
you.
And the Portland Live event.
I'm intrigued because the John Deere, I won't be watching the John Deere.
No, I don't blame you on that front.
So,
but listen. You go ahead, before I answer you. Well, I've already given my answer. I'll jump in front of this. I'm going to confirm it because.
You guys know my answer.
It's a deny. Listen, the makeup of the tour, the goofy rules, the nature of it, no cut. No history with the events. I don't know the course they're playing in Portland, nor do I care. But Koepka, DJ, Phil, Bryson, Reed, Ortiz, Answer, Nah, Sergio. Like, there's legitimate players on the tour now. Like, there are. They legitimately have guys where you say, if, you know, any of those names want a tour event, you'd be captivated by the Sunday event. you know, right. in the chase for it. If Answer did it, if Nod did it, those aren't big names.
I got to go Fergie on this one. I just can't confirm or deny it. If I'm flipping through the channels and it's like Brooks Koepka in the middle of the fairway on a par five.
You're watching.
I probably take a deep. Stardust.
Yeah. Gold dust sniff, a live dust sniff. But that's it. Like if they're smart, they pair Koepka with Bryson and DJ. And if that threesome's playing golf, I'm probably going to watch them play.
Yeah.
Like if it's available to me and they're out there, I'm probably going to watch them play. Is it going to feel almost like a goofy charity event? Yeah. Like, do I care who necessarily wins? No, but I want to watch them play golf because they're great players.
Yeah.
All right, we'll save one for After Dark. Confirm or deny After Dark, still to come. Confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 NX350 F-Sport Series 1 from just $328 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Ben Verlander will join us at Fox Sports in the Flippin' Bats podcast. Justin Verlander's brother. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. And Bob McKenzie, the hockey yes. outsider. And the margarita right. mogul himself will join us at 6:25. We got Bob on to talk about the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Talk about the upcoming draft.
His there list was a is Bobby Bite dropped a bomb today.
He did.
He's got a little bit of a mashup atop his board.
He must be getting a sniff of something.
He's always going with the scouts, right? The scouts are telling him the honest truth.
Yep.
Maybe Shane Wright is not a lock to go first overall to Montreal. So we'll see what he can tell us about that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
I have no idea, Hazy. You might want to break this down for me. These guys in the NBA, whether it be Kendrick Perkins or Stephen A. Smith or Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Shannon Sharp, Jefferson, I don't think, like, they're talking about this new media, our media, old media. They're starting to look like morons, and I don't know why they're doing it. Is it just they're protecting their own turf, or can you have shine some kind of light on it? Like, they're sending out these messages on Twitter. It's like, what is this, a 2022, like, meet in the parking lot and scrap? Or I think it's bad for basketball. It's bad for the league. I think it's just bad.
Yeah, it's if you're not following it, you're here where what you're getting is, and I thought you guys might appreciate this as players, is the modern players are not, they're like fighting back and pushing back on any criticism.
That's right. They don't want Stephen A. Smith to have the comment on it. They want to do it themselves.
Right. And they're quote unquote keeping the receipts. That's what Richard Jefferson was saying last week. He's like, right. you know, all these players are keeping the receipts on what Stephen A. Smith has said, what Skip Bayless has said. Like Skip sent that tweet out about Russell Westbrook and said, Westbrook. And Russ responded on Twitter. And, like, that's something that just never used to happen. It used to happen behind closed doors. You guys could attest to it.
Right. Yeah.
Someone would say something, write something. They'd go in the room, and the player would say, be waiting for him and say, get over here. I got to have a word with you.
Never be brought up in public again.
Because generally the players of all leagues were like, I'm not going to admit that I'm paying attention. What I find interesting about it and honest about it is these guys are actually just saying, I am paying attention. Because right. the guy 30 years ago, he was too. He right. just felt he had too much pride to admit it.
No, but the guy 30 that. Years ago, he had to wake up and grab a coffee in a Toronto Sun to do that.
It is this very is, different. It is
this
very different.
Is, you turn on your phone as soon as you hit your alarm, it's there.
It's very different. But the point I'm making, though, is how many times have players said, and I'm sure you guys probably did it yourselves,
yep.
I didn't read that stuff. Yes, you did. You know exactly what was being said.
Yep.
But no, I don't care about that. I don't listen to the radio. Yes, you do. You did. You know exactly you what's going on.
You do.
Now these guys are just admitting it. They're like, oh, I know you said that about me or my teammate. And guess what? I'm going to fire back on a podcast or on Twitter. It's just different. And it's. I think it's more honest.
But nothing's changed. Everyone will always have opinions.
Of course.
It's different. Like O said, you saw it in the paper the next day as opposed to after the game on your phone. And you've got 48 comments from people that got to weigh in on how you played that night or what you did or,
yeah.
you know, like that type of stuff. So, yeah, you keep receipts. There are people I know that aren't on social media. There are others that can't wait to get on their phone 5
Jamie,
seconds
it's
after
also,
the game.
It's also the everyone gets a trophy crowd
yeah.
entering professional sports where Kyrie Irving, he doesn't like when people say something. forget about him. Like, if he's terrible all year long and he's being called out about it, he doesn't like that. They don't like that.
Well,
it's
everything's
great. Everything's good. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't want to be responsible for that. I'm not a suck. I'm not a whiner. And I don't like it when you say that. And they're fighting back for that,
well,
man.
Well, Durant fights back.
Well, they're not going to win that battle, right? You're not going to stop opinions.
Yeah, but in a way, they're being pissy. They're like, I don't like when Stephen A. Way off the charts and act like an idiot, but they're fighting back. They're saying, I don't like that.
Well,
I don't like.
Exactly. And Stephen A. is sitting there responding, saying, you can like it or not like it all you want. I'm going to keep going, as you would expect he would. But what's been interesting is, like, Draymond Green is going at guys who were criticizing his teammates. Like, it's not even about him. It's like, you criticized the Andrew Wiggins trade, so I'm going to take a run at you.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, let Wiggins speak up or the GM speak up. It had nothing to do with Draymond, but he's jumping into the pond, which I admire to an extent, but it's creating more heat.
He pissed Kendrick Perkins off something.
Sure,
Kendrick Perkins, and he was teed off. He teed off.
Perkins was in the league only a few years ago. All right, we'll come back and get more into this. Ben Verlander will join us. Bob McKenzie will join us. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.